702.
Weekend Breakfast with Refilo and Pakanyane.
Let's walk the talk.
All right, so we do have time to talk books, to talk literature with author, writer Angela Makholwa, who we know and who we love. She first she burst onto the scene with her debut novel, Red Ink. She's written The 30th Candle. Her latest book, which was published, which was released towards the end of last year, if I'm not mistaken, is called The Blessed Girl. And I'm very, very happy to be saying hi to you, Angela. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Hi, Refilo. How are you?
I am so very well and excited we finally got hold of you. I'm told that Mini Me was on the phone, was playing with your phone in the other room, and that is why our calls are going to voicemail.
Why are you embarrassing me like this?
I'm not embarrassing you, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm not embarrassing you, and I'll tell you why, Angela. That is my life as well, because my child does not have her own phone or her own device. So then, from time to time,
not shoot she.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So from time to time, my phone will be confiscated so that she can play Roblox. And then before you know it, WhatsApp messages have been intercepted, or she might look at them and then someone thinks they've been blue ticked, but they haven't been blue ticked because I wasn't on the phone. This thing is
and
so complicated.
It's the bane of my existence.
Oh, well, you know what? It's always a pleasure to speak to you, Angela, and to hear your bubbly laugh. First of all, let's talk about your latest book, The Blessed Girl. And, you know, for those that don't know, I'm just going to read a quick synopsis, but it goes like this. When you're accustomed to the finer things in life, designer shoes, champagne, VIP lounges, and a luxury penthouse, what independent young woman in her right mind would want to let them go? Certainly not the beautiful, ambitious, and super street smart Bontle Tau, who uses her good looks and winning charm to get in life to get exactly what she wants. And apparently Bontle has got a degree in mencology, so there's no shortage of blessers at her penthouse door. Tell me about the response to The Blessed Girl, because you have a knack for tapping into the zeitgeist and really just honing in on that one thing that, you know, is doing the rounds or trending in society and popular culture. How's the feedback been, or the take up of The Blessed Girl been?
Oh my goodness, the response has been incredible. So just to contextualize it, The Blessed Girl actually came out in 2018.
Ah, my bad, yes.
Yes. But it's been very well received, you know, especially from quarters that I didn't really expect it to have that kind of reception. I think people kind of fell in love with Bontle's character, but also the fact that, you know, I really tried to illustrate that blessed life, the glamorous aspect of it, and I juxtaposed it against, you know, what society has come to, which is people, especially younger people, wanting to seem to be doing better than they're doing in life, and using social media as kind of a platform to paint an existence that may not be as real and as genuine as you know, as they would like it to appear.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I think what really resonates is the fact that, you know, this lifestyle is a lot about societal pressure. It is a lot about kind of trying to keep up pretenses.
Yeah.
And it also, I mean, the book also taps into mental health issues, you know, that a lot of people are suffering from depression, and the use of social media and getting those likes and getting that massive following is usually like a panacea to hide from the hurt and the pain and the things that especially as modern society, we often run away from.
Absolutely.
Like the reality that we often run away from.
And I must correct myself. Sorry, I misspoke. Obviously, the latest book is Critical But Stable. And you carry on in the same vein of, you know, societal, that social critique, and looking at exactly that phenomenon of keeping up with the Joneses, so that even though the four couples in the book Critical But Stable are supposedly amongst friends, friends, there is that jostling for position. There's that jostling for status, you know. Are you at the heart of it all really just a social commentator? Are you watching society and going, guys, you know, just dropping little signposts to say, warning, 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 avoid at all costs?
Yeah, but I tend to do it through kind of satirical sunglasses.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I do believe that, I mean, I think it is also a South African characteristic, that whole thing of using humor to navigate some of the toughest stuff that we deal with, because we do deal with a lot as South Africans. So yeah, I mean, I remember somebody just asked me recently whether I'm that when I was writing Red Ink and talking about it and all of that, I said that I'm not here to preach.
Yeah.
I'm just here to write for entertainment. And they asked me if I still feel the same way. But I think as I've evolved as a writer, you know, you can't separate yourself from the society that you live in, and you can't not be concerned as an artist as well about kind of the way of the world that you live in and just the direction that we're going. And of course, we have so many issues that are troubling. I mean, and when you write the zeitgeist, as you say, you do reflect on, you know, what is it that somebody who will read this book in 10 years time or 20 years or 100 years time will take away from it. And so for me, I do get gratification in mirroring what we are going through. And just sparking these kind of conversations and discussions around that, because I do believe that gets us somewhere.
No, absolutely. And of course, you know, it stands to reiterate, there's no preaching here, as you say. This is absolutely a satirical, tongue-in-cheek and fun look at, you know, who we are and what we do in such a non-threatening way. It really is such an amazing way that you hold the mirror up to ourselves, the South Africans. But, you know, part of the reason that we invited you to Weekend Breakfast was for you to give us one or two book recommendations. Let's see how far we get, time allowing. Some recommendations of books that you thoroughly enjoyed or thought, you know, were great for the moment. What's first up on your list, Angela?
Oh, yes. I'm very thrilled to actually talk about this book. It's by Yaa Jassy.
Yes.
It's called Transcendental Kingdom. I know you may remember her from her debut novel, Homecoming.
Absolutely.
So she's a Ghanaian writer who's based, I think, in the US, sorry. So this book is very internally focused, because it looks at the family dynamics of an immigrant family that comprises the mom who slips into depression further into the book, the young woman who's the protagonist of the story, and her brother, who is actually kind of the beacon of the parents' eyes, and he's got this promising athletic career, but then he gets an injury and falls, and then he becomes addicted to painkillers. It sounds very depressing and dire, but what I love about how it explores those family dynamics is that it's very, like I said, it's very intimate, and it explores issues of religion, issues of addiction, science versus religion, in terms of tackling huge kind of family dynamics. It's just an incredible book, and it's very moving, it's very touching, and I would recommend it to anyone.
Yeah,
And then the other book is...
Not so fast, Angela.
100... What is it called? It's called 100 Years of Lenny and Margot.
Okay.
I recently read this book. I actually read it, I think last week. I just finished it last week. It's also... it's amazing that I write satire, but then lately I've been reading very serious books. But I think I love just the lyricism in these books, and also what I love particularly about this book is also that it deals with death, which is a topic that we all want to avoid.
Yeah.
But it's around a friendship that develops between a 17-year-old woman and an 83-year-old woman who meet at a terminal home. They're both terminally ill,
sure.
And they forge this incredible friendship. And it just, I just found it so moving as well, and so honest, this book, and also humorous in strange places that you wouldn't expect, because I admire writers who are able to find kind of humanity, our humanity in topics that we usually want to shy away from. Mm. So yeah, those are my reads, my recommended reads.
So, I mean, you know, with the 100 years of Lenny and Margot, and you know, you talk about the fact, you obviously it's premised on two people, young and old, meeting in a terminal ward. Is it sort of, is it a nice or a fitting companion to the times we're living in, where yes, of course, death is a natural part of life, but we've got this pandemic hanging over us and we're living with this pandemic. Yeah. And so we're dealing at an accelerated rate with even more people, experience. Exactly. Yeah. How did you find that sort of experience, that juxtaposition? Did you think of it in that way?
I did, because I think also we are more aware of our mortality. All of us, we have to, be aware, because I mean, with COVID, you don't know what's going to happen if you get it. You really don't. But I think what I loved about the book is that it's comforting in reflecting on death, in the sense that it's something that's inevitable. First of all,
yeah.
I mean, none of us are going to dodge that particular bullet. So what I loved about it is that it reflected on the idea of dying from the perspective of somebody who has lived a long life.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily like a perfect life. That's another thing. I love the fact of the simplicity of these people's lives. I mean, it's not a glamorous life where there's lots and lots of things happening, but the few major moments, milestones in both Margot and Lenny's lives are almost, when you reflect on it, are almost enough. Like the life that you live, no matter how short or how long it is, as long as you do have those moments where you connect with people in a profound way, you know, I think it's enough. And I think that's what I got out of it.
Oh, Angela Makolo, thank you so much for availing yourself this morning and bringing your energy, your giggles, your laugh to Weekend Breakfast. We really, really appreciate it.
And sorry for the little terrorist that took the phone away from
you. Oh, you know what? This thing called adulting and parenting and life, it is perfectly all right. It gave us a nice opportunity, in fact, to have more conversation with listeners. So either way, we appreciate the energy and the enthusiasm. And, of course, the writing, the books. Thanks for your time, Angela.
Thank you. So please get Critical But Stable. It's available at bookstores.
Thank you, Angela. Angela Makolwa, author there, speaking about giving us her reading list, her lockdown reading list, Transcendental Kingdom by Yaa Gyasi, and The 100 Years of Lenny and Margot by Marie Anne Cronin. But most importantly, as she said, her latest book is called Critical But Stable, Critical But Stable. And it is, of course, available at all good, decent bookstores.